中国共产党第十三届中央委员会第四次全体会议。
On June 24, 1989, 20 days after the Tiananmen massacre, Jiang Zemin became the head of the Chinese Communist Party.
选举江泽民同志为中央委员会总书记。
At that time, few had any idea who he was.
当时处在这个六四屠杀的这么个巨大的阴影下面，全部。
At the time, under the huge shadow of the Tiananmen Square massacre, the feelings of the entire country were very grieved and downcast, because no one thought that such a thing could happen. No one ever considered that the army would open fire on its own civilians. Under those circumstances, however, probably not many people seriously regarded this issue. They also didn't know Jiang Zemin.
As head of the Chinese Communist Party, Chinese Army, and government of a country with a population of 1.3 billion people, President Jiang Zemin is perhaps one of the most powerful leaders in the world. Still, few people know who he truly is, and even fewer know his hidden side. According to Jiang's official biography, during the first four decades after the Chinese Communist Party came to power, Jiang Zemin rose to power steadily from a lowly technical staff member all the way to the mayor of Shanghai, China's largest city. His promotion was rare at a time when tumultuous political campaigns and conflicts followed one after another. Even during the 10 years of China's notorious Cultural Revolution, when most honest officials were stripped of their positions, Jiang went untouched. A most unusual thing. By the spring of 1989, China had seen a decade of economic reform and opening up. Most of the population in China had seen drastic improvement in their standard of living over just a short period of time. And for many, more importantly, they caught their first glimpse of Western democracy and freedom. At that time, one newspaper from Shanghai City, titled World Economic Daily, was highly regarded for its boldness in publishing information that was considered too controversial to appear in other government-run papers. It became popular among the general public. It was thought and still considered trouble by China's conservative political faction. Jiang Zemin, who was then head of the Communist Party Committee in Shanghai, publicly expressed his support of the paper.
In the same year, during the Shanghai Chinese New Year banquet, when Jiang Zemin saw Qin Bonli, the chief editor of the Economic Guide, he even patted him on the back and said, "Don't worry, the Shanghai Municipal Party Committee will only act to reduce the pressure, not to increase it. So rest assured."
这个你放心好了。那么这个事情我想跟后面这个
This incident has a lot to do with the following situation.
看江泽民的问题上面。
As it caused Qin Bonli to get the wrong impression from Jiang Zemin. He never thought that Jiang would betray him in a crucial moment.
会出卖他。
One month later, in April of 1989,Hu Yaobang, a former leader in the Communist Party who actively sought political reform, died from a heart attack. He had been demoted 2 years earlier. College students in Beijing and Shanghai went to the streets to demonstrate for freedom of speech, for punishment of corruption, and for educational reform. The World Economic Daily newspaper held a memorial service for Hu Yaobang.And was ready to report the entire event. Deng Xiaoping, China's actual leader at that time, is well known as the man who initiated China's economic reforms. But he is also someone who believed in absolute supremacy of the Communist Party. On April 26th, the front page headline of the party's newspaper, The People's Daily, labeled the student protest a riot. Jiang Zemin was the first to take action.
Around the time the April 26 editorial was published, Jiang Zemin convened a meeting in Shanghai, where the attendees were thousands of governmental officials at different levels. At the meeting, he announced the cancellation of Qin Bonli's post and the shutdown of the economic guide. This incident really started the fire.
Although Jiang's decision incited large protests, Communist Party hardliners in Beijing were impressed by what he did. Early in the morning on June 4th, the world was shocked by the massacre of scores of Chinese student protesters, perhaps thousands, on Tiananmen Square in Beijing. Unarmed students were gunned down by armed soldiers and crushed by tanks, marring the square with blood. Zhao Ziyang, the head of the Chinese Communist Party at the time, who sympathized with the students, was demoted by Deng Xiaoping. On June 24th, Jiang Zemin was appointed head of the Chinese Communist Party. Fresh to his new post as head of the nation, Jiang is eager to exercise his dominating power to win the favor of the hardliners and strike various influential groups.
Jiang Zemin made many similar statements. For example, we must make the private sectors lose their fortune, be reduced to poverty and ruin. We are against capitalism freedom, and we are against peaceful evolution from socialism to capitalism. His purpose was to take back the freedoms that once had been promised to them by the government. Also, he wanted to change the market economic reform. That is, he wanted to go back to the old ways.
But Deng Xiaoping was still China's real leader. He knew well that only through economic reform and the opening of markets to attract foreign investors could the party maintain its power in China. Seeing that the newly appointed Jiang Zemin wasn't going in that direction, Deng decided to take action.
By then, Deng Xiaoping had already transferred all of his power to Jiang Zemin. Therefore, he traveled to the south, taking his wife and daughter with him, where to the media he openly stated that he was in total support of reforms in the government, and that all those in the government who were against it must resign.
But upon hearing his statement, Jiang immediately relented and followed Deng's course.
In 1997, Deng Xiaoping passed away. Jiang Zemin then found he was at the absolute top of the political ladder. But Jiang also knew that his position was far from secure. He immediately took action to consolidate his power. Unlike Mao Zedong, who founded the People's Republic of China, or Deng Xiaoping, who led China to prosperity and strength, Jiang Zemin is widely regarded as someone who has accomplished little as the nation's leader. Without some kind of outstanding historical achievement, and having never served in the army or fought in any wars, Jiang knew he lacked credibility, be it among the veteran party members, the army, local government officials, or the intellectuals. And in China, no one can claim to be the true leader of the country without the support of those different groups. However, after 30 years of poverty and isolation from the world in Mao's time, and having a taste of economic reforms and improved standard of living during Deng's time, Chinese people were really afraid of being poor again. Jiang Zemin took advantage of this fear and started utilizing it to consolidate his power. On October 24, 1997, 6 months after Deng died, Jiang Zemin appointed 152 new generals to the post. Among existing generals, 64 were promoted to the rank of supreme general. Another strategy Jiang adopted was to allow certain groups of people, such as veterans of the party, army, local government officials, intellectuals, and some businessmen to gain greater material benefits, which eventually led to corruption.
At present, for retired government officials like myself, pensions are raised to a great deal every year. Housing is also continuously adjusted to better levels. For example, some retired editor-in-chiefs and directors of the People's Daily always get new houses once they are built by the newspaper office. If they don't have their own cars, government cars can be used at their disposal. Therefore, these people, including those who originally were famous for pursuing reform, lived a very comfortable life and are satisfied with the current situation. Their children are also well arranged for, and so they do not take any risks that may force them to lose what they have.
This deliberate indulgence of corruption has led to serious damage to moral standards, creating chaos in the social and economic systems. According to official Chinese data, in 1998, 10% of the gross national product was embezzled by corrupt government officials. Premier Zhu Rongji once said in a government meeting, "Every year, 80% of the military-owned enterprises, capital and income are embezzled by the senior and mid-level military cadres. A telephone call from a government official would bring billions in loan for an enterprise. And most of the money become private property of these corrupted officials and be secretly saved in their foreign bank accounts."
This is because no one from the top to the bottom has any ideals. What does Zhang rely on for getting people to support him? He relies on giving them many benefits, just as described in the novel. One corrupted official said, "Our party and our officials utilize corruption and depend on providing chances for corruption to lower level officials in exchange for their support." There's a saying that corruption makes the governing power more consolidated and stable.
Zheng then started a Mao-style personal worshipping campaign through China's media. Only this time, it's about worshipping him. A typical editorial like this appeared in the People's Daily newspaper every day, emphasizing, "We should always get together around Chairman Zhang, keep the same opinion with him, and we should learn Zhang's theory of three represents deeply and apply it everywhere." But without Mao's charisma, who was able to win people's hearts at that time, Jiang Zemin sought to build his image with unusual measures. In June of 2000, Jiang Zemin bought a $130 million Air Force One jet from Boeing for his personal transportation. The 50th National Day celebration cost the country more than 20 billion yuan. While the social and economic status tilts toward the privileged few, the common people suffer great losses. According to the book, China by the Yellow River, within the first 5 years of Jiang Zemin's rule, China has become the country with the highest unemployment rate, the largest scale of ecological damage, and the widest gap between the rich and the poor in the world. Nearly 45% of city and town residents are not satisfied with their current situation. Robbery rates are the highest in the world. The violent murder rate in Chinese cities is ranked number 5. The rate of drug smuggling cases is number 3. And illegal gambling is number 1. Any dissenting voices are quickly suppressed. According to Zheng Ming, a Hong Kong-based magazine, 157 veteran generals were ordered to have early retirement during 2001 for not being satisfied with Zheng's personal worshipping campaign. Among them, 50 generals were forced to leave the army entirely.
There was a saying in Mao's time, "Hold a pen in one hand and a gun in the other hand." So, Jiang is following this advice.
In June of 2002, the Department of Propaganda in China issued a list of 32 must-follow rules for all media. certain topics were forbidden to be discussed, including amending the Constitution to protect private property and exposing such corruption cases as officials' diversion of children's educational funds for the officials' private use. The list also prohibits directly broadcasting news from Western media. Recently, China's high increasing economic numbers also brought questions and doubts to economists. Cover stories like this one reveal that China could be bigger than Enron.
In 2001, the mainland China claims that they had a growth rate of 7.3%, and the growth rate in Hong Kong was actually minus 2. Now that's impossible, because if the 250 million people around Hong Kong are growing at 7.3, the 5 million people in Hong Kong can't be growing at minus 2. So one of those two numbers is wrong. Now you can tell me which number it is. Either Hong Kong's doing much better than everybody thinks, or China's doing much worse than everybody thinks. Another number like that is if you take the last 3 years, Chinese GDP has supposedly gone up 25%, but the use of electricity is only, use of energy has only gone up 13%. Now that's impossible, because it takes energy to produce GDP. And as people get richer, they turn on a light, they turn on a television set, and in every country in the world, energy consumption goes up a little faster than the GDP, usually about 10% faster. And so you have to explain, how can China do something that nobody else in the world can do, right?
In early 1990s, when Jiang Zemin got his power in China, the communist countries of the world began to collapse, one after another. When Gorbachev announced his resignation in Moscow, China became the last powerful communist regime.
See, Deng Xiaoping was very smart. He realized that after the 1989 Tiananmen Square demonstrations, that even though they were able to brutally crush the students and their allies in the square, the party really had to draw back. It had to withdraw from the lives of the peasants, the workers. Today's leaders are not so pragmatic, mm-hmm. and their reaction to any sort of challenge is to immediately clamp down.
When Jiang Zemin started a nationwide persecution towards Falun Gong, few could imagine why he wanted to do this.
Well, who can have a problem with truth, compassion, and forbearance? I don't understand this. This is, again, my own personal ignorance at this. There is no part of Falun Gong that calls for this. There is no part of Falun Gong that is a social disruptant. These are peaceful people who wish only to find their place, to find their inner comfort. Again, I don't understand. I just don't understand where the Chinese government is coming from on this. I just don't get it.
Falun Gong has won the protection and support of many veteran officials from the Communist Party, the military, and the government. Jiang Zemin's persecution of Falun Gong is to establish his own power over the communist government.
The persecution was initiated by a political order from Jiang Zemin, and it reached every corner of China. Jiang Zemin chose the extreme measure of cracking down on Falun Gong, using every available state-run media and resources. Secret orders to cut off Falun Gong practitioners economically, destroy them physically, and abuse them mentally. These orders came directly from Jiang Zemin. Practitioners being beaten to death would be considered a suicide. This led to even more brutal torture in detention centers, labor camps, and mental hospitals. Rape and long-term jail sentences are common. Congressional hearings like this revealed that people were forced to work for more than 15 hours daily without pay.
Cellmates recall the screams of the Chinese retiree before she died.
However, the seemingly weakest group proved to be the strongest.
A matter of convictions. 1 year after a little-known group mounted a daring demonstration in Tiananmen Square, security is tight there, and a crackdown continues nationwide. None of the protests lasted much more than a moment before police seized the demonstrators and hustled them away. But before long, in another corner, another group would go at it again.
In order to block Falun Gong practitioners from going to Tiananmen Square, at the gate of the Beijing train station, they would ask everyone if he or she was a Falun Gong practitioner, who would make people step on a picture of the founder of Falun Gong. However, they were doing this because they knew Falun Gong practitioners are honest and would not lie. Therefore, they took advantage of this. This is especially abominable because they were taking advantage of the good qualities of Falun Gong practitioners to achieve their bad purposes. In reality, they were encouraging cheating and deception. Consequently, he badly damaged the environment of virtue.
What is it that worries you so about Falun Gong that you torture, arrest, kill, etc.? What is it?
Every country outside of China has accepted Falun Gong practitioners, and many have issued proclamations and awards. Governments have also spoken out against this senseless persecution in China. Because of their support, they too become targets from Jiang Zemin's regime.
It could be any targeted class of Americans where a foreign government decides that I'm going to launch a criminal, and I'm saying criminal, I'm going to launch a criminal enterprise on U.S. American soil, and I don't care about the Bill of Rights.
As I remember telling a lawyer friend of mine about this, that your apartment can be broken into, you can be beaten up, your car can be set on fire, your phones can be tapped. And he said, Martin, that stuff occurs in China every day. And I said, we're not talking about China, we're talking about here in America. So what the case is about is that when Jiang Zemin made a decision in July of 1999 to start the persecution of the Falun Gong in China, he also made a decision, and it was announced, that they would take this campaign of terror from China and bring it over to America. And that's what they did.
After 13 years of rule in China, Jiang Zemin is considered to be the biggest dictator by Western societies. His suppression towards civilians and extreme rules against democracy and against freedom of speech made him rated as a scoundrel of human rights. Records from Amnesty International show that from April to July 2001, 1,780 people were executed in China. This is more than the number of people executed in the rest of the world over the last 3 years. There are many ways that Jiang Zemin has successfully hidden his dark side. But if the suppressed people of China learn about his hidden side, he is doomed to fail.
It's going to be like the regimes in Eastern Europe. You know, one day they were there and they appeared strong and vibrant to the outside world. The next day they were gone. And to a certain extent, I think that is a model of what we have seen with communist regimes around the world. I don't see any reason why that model won't be followed in China, which means that one day that government will just disappear from view and we will all be surprised.